Good health to all from Rexall. Yes, it's Sunday, time for the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall Drug Products and your Rexall Family Druggist.
Good evening. This is your Rexall Family Druggist, taking a little time from behind the prescription counter this Sunday evening to speak for all 10,000 of us. The 10,000 druggists who have added the word Rexall to our own store names. You can always tell us by the orange and blue Rexall sign in our windows. The sign means that we carry the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. They range all the way from aspirin to penicillin, and they're as fine and pure and dependable as science can make them. We recommend them to our customers because we know you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall Family Druggist brings you the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. It is 4 o'clock in the Harris household, and the children have just arrived home from school. They're an hour late, and Phil and Alice are a little upset.
Well, it's about time you children got home. Where have you been?
Yeah, why were you so late?
The teacher kept us after school, Daddy.
Yeah, she said the homework we did last night was all wrong.
So? My children can't grasp the simple things they teach in the elementary grades. The trouble is, you don't pay no attention. You think you know everything. You won't listen to your elders. Now, after this, if you have any trouble, come to me with your homework.
That's what we did last night, Dad.
Oh. And what makes your teacher so sure it was wrong?
She said George Washington was the first president, not Petrillo.
Well, that's a moot point.
Daddy, the teacher gave us these pamphlets for you to read.
Let me see them, children. These might help you, Phil. Political history of our country, current issues of the political campaign, party platforms...
Hold it, Myrtle, hold it. Just take it easy. You might not know it, but I don't have to read pamphlets to know what's going on in this country. I'm right up to the minute on world affairs and current events, like every good American citizen should be.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because there's something I forgot to tell you. The election committee called, and they want us to help out at the election on Tuesday.
Election? Mm-hmm. Somebody's running for something?
We're voting for a president. They want me to work at the polls, and they want you to go around the neighborhood and get the people to vote.
Oh, but Alice, I can't be bothered with that stuff. Let somebody else do
it. Oh, Phil, that's not the right attitude. This is an important election.
That's right, Daddy. The teacher says it's the duty of everyone to do their part.
Please do it, Daddy. We'll be proud of you. You'll be running the election and helping to pick the president.
Yes, Phyllis, but I can... Running the election, huh? I'll be picking a president, huh? Well, if it's up to me to pick him, we don't need no election. We'll call the whole thing off. I'll make big changes.
Phil.
Yes, big changes. I'll make a clean sweep of the whole country.
Phil, stop swinging your arms. If anybody came in and...
Yes, sir, I'll sweep
everything. Phil, look what you did.
Oh, well, gee, I didn't know that anybody was in back of me.
It's my brother William. You knocked him out.
Oh, as I was saying, I'll sweep everybody.
Phil, don't let him lie there. Help him up.
Okay, okay.
How is he, Phil? How is he? Is he unconscious?
With Willie, it's hard to tell. Yeah, he's out all right, honey, but I'll bring him to.
Well, hurry, Phil. Rub his wrist. Slap his face. Not with your fist.
Oh, my. Come on, Willie. Willie, come on, snap out of it. Willie, come on, snap. I'm sorry it happened. I didn't even know you were there, and I... Well, Willie, say something, Willie. Speak to me.
Good morning, Philip.
For that, I had to bring him, too.
I'm glad you're all right, Willie. It was an accident.
I don't believe it. I think he did it on purpose.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Phil would never hit you on purpose. Would you, Phil?
Nah.
He was just carried away with himself when I told him about his being appointed to the election committee.
Yes, sir, and they showed great judgment. Who could do a better job of getting those women out to vote? Why, I'll have them dames eaten out of my hand. All I got to do is call at their homes, turn on that Harris charm, and I'll have all
hold
them women
it,
coming.
Buster. Hold it,
Philip, frankly, I don't think the committee made a very wise choice. The importance of voting in this election should be explained to the people, and I don't think you're capable of doing it. I doubt if you even know who's running.
I don't know who's... Oh, Oglethorpe. Homer J. Oglethorpe, please. Go buy yourself a new snuff box.
If you know, answer me. Who is running?
Oh, you don't know, huh?
Well, of course I know. Among the candidates, Thomas E. Dewey, Harry Truman, Henry Wallace, Norman Thomas, and J. Strom Thurmond.
But of course.
I hope you know, Phil. I didn't want to tell you, but several of the committee members questioned your ability to do the job. In fact, a few of them are coming over this evening.
They questioned my ability. My ability. Well. This is the sort of a thing that cuts a man to the quick.
Bill, they're just coming over to find out if you're capable of handling it. You have to have a knowledge of politics in case people ask questions.
Let them ask questions. Let them ask questions. Let them interrogate me.
What was that last word?
Me. Yeah, me. Me. I can explain to those people the importance of voting this year. It's the political issues involved which concern I'll get it. Glad that bell rang. I really don't know too much about this. There must be some way I can find out before election.
Hi, Curly.
Frankie. Hey, what do you know about politics?
Everything. I probably know as much about politics as I do about music.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Not if there's anything you want to know, just ask me.
I'll take a chance. Now, look, who are you voting for in the presidential election?
I ain't voting. I don't believe in changing presidents.
Well, some people think we should.
Well, that's because they haven't followed the career of our president as closely as I have. I say the man's doing a good job. And as long as he continues to do a good job, let's keep Hoover there.
Frankie.
Yes?
Mr. Truman is the president of the United States, not Hoover.
Oh, of course. I was thinking of Canada. Now, is there anything else you want to know?
Yeah, have you seen a doctor about that slow leak in your head? Look, Remley, I'm on the election committee, and they're coming over tonight to find out what I know about the different parties.
Curly, your education's been sadly neglected. Didn't you learn anything in school? First thing they taught me was that there are two major parties, the Whigs and the Tories.
Those two I know about.
There's more?
Well, there must be. There are a lot of other fellas running this year. There's Harry Truman, Thomas E. Dewey, Henry Wallace, J. Strom Thurmond, and Thomas.
Thomas?
John Charles. Look, Remley, you know even less than I do about this, and it's our duty to find out about it. I hope you realize the importance of voting.
Well, of course I do. Look at my poor father. One year he didn't vote, and they passed prohibition.
And what's wrong with prohibition? I mean, worse things than that can happen, like having an atom bomb go off in your hand or something. I mean, after all, Remley, you don't know anything. Don't you know anybody that I can talk to who knows politics?
Well, why do you have to know about it?
Well, because We have to know what we're doing when we vote. If we pick the wrong guy, we can get into as much trouble as people did when they had that Nebuchadnezzar.
What was wrong with him? Well, besides his name.
What was wrong with him?
Oh, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. There was three children from the land of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They took a little trip to the land of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. He took a lot of gold and made him an idol, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
And he told everybody when you hear the music of the cornet,
and the flute,
and the harp,
you must fall down and worship that idol, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But the children of Israel would not bow down, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You couldn't fool them with a golden idol,
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
I said you couldn't fool them with a golden idol,
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
So the king put the children in the fire furnace,
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Then he heaped on the coals and the red-hot brimstone,
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Seven times hotter, hotter than it ought to be,
Shadrach,
Shadrach.
He burned up the soldiers the king had put down,
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
But the Lord sent an angel with snowy white wings down in the middle of that furnace, talking to the children about the power of the gospel,
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Couldn't even burn a hair on the head of that Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, laughing and talking while the fire was a-jumping,
Shadrach.
The Lord was on their side. Old Nebuchadnezzar called, "Hey there!" when he saw the power of the Lord, and they had a big time in the house of Babylon, Shadrach,
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Hey, Curly, I've been thinking. Why do you have to ask somebody about politics? Books have been written on the subject. You must have one in the house.
Yeah, we must have. Hey, Let's look at my book collection and see.
Your book collection?
Naturally. I have quite an extensive library.
Mm-hmm.
There they are. Go ahead, look for yourself.
Oh. Ruby out of Omar Khayyam. Emerson's Essays, Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, Masochistic Tendencies of the Malayan.
That one was excellent. A smasher.
You liked it, huh?
Well, that and Homer's Iliad, I just couldn't put them down. I suggest you read it, Mr. Remley.
Yes, maybe I would.
No.
I'll wait till I make the picture. See what else you got here. The Architectural Influence of the Elizabethan Era. The Rover Boys at Tehachapi.
Curly! Alice, she goes for that light, frothy stuff.
Of course. Here's a book that'll help us, Curly. The Machination of Political Regimes During the Industrial Revolution.
Ideal for our purpose, Mr. Remley.
Right.
Now, let's see.
What's the matter?
Hey, Remley.
What?
We'll never understand this. The words are too big and complicated
for us. Oh, hello, Frank.
Hi, Alice.
Hey, Alice. I've been thinking about it, and, maybe I shouldn't serve on that committee.
Oh, but, Phil, I think you should. It's important to call at people's homes and get them out to vote.
I know that, but they're going to ask me questions, and if I can't answer them, they won't even let me in their homes.
Hey, Curly, I got an idea. Why don't you practice on Alice and me? Pretend we're a married couple and you're trying to get us to vote.
Okay, Remley, Wait a minute. You and Alice are married?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Don't be a child. We're only playing house.
Oh,
Go on now. You go to the door and ring the bell.
All right. I'll try it once.
Okay, Alice. Now we'll make like we're a married couple.
Mm-hmm.
You put your head on my shoulder.
All right.
I'll put my arm around you like
mm-hmm.
this.
Uh-huh.
You comfy, dear?
Mm, yes, darling.
Wait! We ain't gonna do it that way, Remley.
Please, don't tell me how to play house. Now, go on, you go outside and ring the bell, and I'll let you in.
And let me in fast, brother. I don't want no pause between me and the bell ring. And the door opening. Let's make it all work fast, huh? Like this. All right, but see to get the door open. I'm going to try. No louds, Dad. No louds.
Look, Alice, we got to make it tough for Curly. Yeah. We'll pretend we're not interested in voting, and it's up to him to convince us that we should.
Miss Fay, I brought your groceries in the kitchen.
Oh, thanks, Julius.
Hiya, Mr. Emily. Where's Mr. Harris?
All right, beat it, kid. We're busy. Go on, scram. Scram!
Stop pushing, Mac. I'll go. I ain't overjoyed at the prospect of your company anyway.
Someone's at the door, darling.
Well, answer it, sweetie pie.
Go away, will you? I'm talking to Alice. There's someone at the door, Angel.
I'll get it, honey.
Let's get it together, sweetheart.
Angel? Honey? Sweetheart? This is certainly a nauseating situation. I'd better sneak up and find out what's going on.
I'll open the door, dearest.
Careful of your itty-bitty hands, Cookie Pie.
I don't know which is more nauseating, the situation or the dialogue.
Hello.
Oh, it's Mr. Harris. Now the fireworks start.
Madam, my name is Phil Harris.
Does he have to introduce himself every time he comes home?
I'd like to talk to you, lady. May I come in?
Oh, not now. I'm very busy. Come back some other time.
Well, if I can't talk to you, may I talk to your husband?
He's got to ask her if it's all right to talk to himself.
I'm sorry, but my husband is busy and
Somebody at the door, darling? Well, and who is this?
How can he act so innocent?
Oh, this is Mr. Harris, darling.
Oh?
Mr. Harris, I'm Mrs. Harris. And this is my husband, Mr. Remley.
I guess I just don't understand these Hollywood marriages.
Wow. What's on your mind, Harris?
Well, there's something I got to talk to you two about. There's something I must know.
Uh-oh, here's where the shooting starts.
What do you want to know?
Are you two voting next Tuesday?
Now, there's a shrewd question on the side. I can't stand no more of this. Mr. Harris, can't you see what's going on here?
Oh, Julius, what are you doing in here?
He delivered the groceries. Oh. We thought he left.
Oh.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Mr. Remley. Calling Miss Faye Cookie Pie right in front of poor Mr. Harris.
Hey. Hey, what do you know? The kid's sticking up for me.
Sure, I'm sticking up for you. I can't let your wife do this to you just because you're a poor, broken-down old musician who ain't got enough...
Never mind! Get off my side.
Now, beat it, will you, kid? Go on back to the grocery.
Okay,
get
okay.
out of it. All right.
Darn, kid spoiled the whole thing. Now we don't even...
Oh. Well, I wasn't doing too well anyway.
Phil, it might help you if you read those pamphlets the children brought home from school. They explain the candidates, their platforms, and how the government is run in a very simple language.
Yeah, the pamphlets. Hey, come on, Frankie. We got just time to read them things before the committee gets here. Come on. See you later, honey.
Gee, it's nice to see Phil take an interest in the election. Maybe he'll find out a few things about our country. It's a big place, and there's a lot to learn, such as... Copper comes from Arizona, peaches come from Georgia, and lobsters come from Maine. The wheat fields are the sweet fields of Nebraska, and Kansas gets bonanzas from the grain. Old whiskey comes from old Kentucky, ain't the country lucky? New Jersey gives us glue. And you come from Rhode Island, and little old Rhode Island is famous for you. Cotton comes from Louisiana, gophers from Montana, and spuds from Idaho.
They plow lands in the cowlands of Missouri,
where most beef men for roast beef seems to grow.
Grand Canyons come from Colorado, gold comes from Nevada.
Yes, and divorces also do.
And you come from Rhode Island, and little old Rhode Island is famous for you. Pencils come from Pennsylvania,
no.
Best from West Virginia,
oh, no.
And tents from Tennessee.
They know mink where they grow mink in Wyoming.
A camp chair in New Hampshire, that's for me.
And did you know that, Tomino?
Yes.
It comes from Minnesota. A coats come from Dakota. But why should you be blue?
For you come from Rhode Island. Don't let them ride Rhode Island. She's famous for you.
Hey, Frankie, did you finish reading all the pamphlets?
Yeah.
Pretty interesting, aren't they?
If you say so.
Well, they are. According to these pamphlets, almost any kid in this country has a chance to grow up and be president.
Not having any kids, I ain't interested.
But supposing you did. Just picture it, Frankie. Someday you get married, and after a year or two, the stork comes to your house, and who knows? The little one might grow up to be president. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah. Well, I'm the only stork that ever grew up to be president. Look, Curly, forget my kid and think about your committee. They'll be here soon. Now, can you memorize everything you read?
Well, I hope so. There's an awful lot to remember, though.
All right, I'll brief you. First, our form of government. It's divided into three branches, legislative, executive, and judiciary. You know all the candidates and their different platforms, and of course you know that we don't elect our president through popular vote. We send members to the Electoral College who in turn elect the president. You follow me?
Yeah, I got most of it. But what was that stuff after you said, I'll brief you?
I'll tell you once more. The government is the...
Wait a minute. Too late, Frankie. Now, there's the committee.
Oh.
I think I'll remember everything if they'll just start asking questions fast before I forget.
Well, don't wait. Start talking politics as soon as they come
in. I will.
Oh, Phil, Phil, the committee is here. Mr. Johnson, Mr. Kerwin, this is my husband, Mr. Harris.
How do you do, Mr. Harris?
How are you, sir?
Our government is divided into three branches. The legislative, the executive, and the judiciary. How am I doing with my answers, Alice?
Not bad, considering they haven't asked you any questions yet. won't you be seated, gentlemen?
Thank you, but we can't stay long. Now, Mr. Harris, we're merely here to find out if you're familiar with election procedure.
We know you are, but some voters might ask silly questions like, how is a president elected?
Well, that I know. Now, the president is not elected by popular vote. Instead, we vote to send members to an electrical college. And after they graduate from college, they vote for us, and that's why it takes 4 years to elect the president.
Yes.
Uh,
That's a very keen analysis.
Yeah, isn't it? Mr. Harris has a great brain. Someday we hope to find out who graded it.
Mr. Harris, do you know anything at all about politics? Do you know who you're going to vote for yourself?
Naturally. I've made up my mind, and I know exactly who I'm going to vote
for. Well, off the record, I hope you're voting for Mr. Truman.
Of course. Who else?
I think Mr. Dewey is the better man.
That's what I said. Mr. Dewey, by all means.
Of course, there are people who like Mr. Thurman.
And I'm one of those people.
How do you feel about Lassie?
You couldn't find a better man to cut that out.
Mr. Harris, according to you, you're voting for three men. Do you think we should have three presidents at the same time?
Why not? While one is joining Indian tribes and the second one is out fishing, the third one can stay at the White House and get some work done.
Mr. Johnson, I think we've heard enough. Shall we go?
Yes, yes. Mr. Harris, I don't think you're the man for the election committee. Unfortunately, we can't prevent you from voting yourself, but we... We can keep you from lousing up everybody else. Good night, sir.
Oh, but gentlemen, Mr. Harris...
Good night, Mrs. Harris. You have our deepest sympathy.
Phil, you didn't know what you were talking about at all.
Well, I was trying to...
Being on the committee isn't too important, but before you vote, I wish you'd find out more about the candidates.
You're right, Alice. You're absolutely right. And I'll admit I don't know too much about them, and it's our duty, and it's the duty of everyone, to vote intelligently on Tuesday. I'm going to start reading up on the candidates right now.
No, me too. I didn't realize it before, but now I know it's important to pick the right man.
Well, come on, Frankie. Let's study these facts. Now, this explains the platforms of Mr. Truman, Mr. Dewey, Mr. Wallace, Mr. Thurman, and Mr. Frankie, what are you doing?
Well, I'm choosing the man I'm going to vote for.
Well, how are you doing it?
I'm putting all the names in a hat, and I'm going to pick one.
Oh, Remley, you can't do it that way.
It's too late. I already picked a name out. Here it is. I'm voting for... Funny, I didn't even put this one in.
Who is it?
Some guy named Stetson.
You picked out the label. Remley, sit down. We're going to read this book right now.
Phil and Alice will be back in just a moment.
Pardon me, mister, but where can I find a Rexall drugstore?
Well, they're all over the country, my friend. 10,000 of them. Most of them independent family druggists like me. But you can always tell them by the orange and blue Rexall sign in the window.
And that sign means they sell Rexall drug products?
Exactly. More than 2,000 of them. Yes, we Rexall druggists may disagree about politics and football teams, but there's one thing we're really sold on.
I know. Rexall drug products.
Right, my friend. You see, we druggists know that Rexall products are carefully and purely compounded, that they're tested over and over again, and that they're constantly being improved by the never-ending research that goes on in Rexall's big laboratories. So when our customers ask us to recommend a brand, we just naturally tell them you...
You can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Now, how did you know that?
Because I found it out for myself. Why do you think I was looking for a Rexall drugstore in the first place?
See you next Sunday, folks.
Good night now for the makers of Rexall drug products and your Rexall family druggists. Look for the blue and orange sign in their windows. It means they carry the 2,000 or more Rexall drug products. And these 10,000 family druggists tell you, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall. This is Bill Foreman wishing good health to all from Rexall. Sunday is fun day on NBC. Stay tuned to this station for the Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy show, which follows immediately.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.